Daniel chapter 7 verses 1 through 28. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, thank you for the privilege to teach your word. Thank you for the privilege to be called a child of God. And thank you, God, that you indwell all those who have committed their life to you. And I thank you, Lord, that I'm not dependent upon myself for eloquence of speech or great knowledge, God, but I am totally and humbly committed unto you, Lord, and dependent upon you, God, to reveal what you would desire. Now may your humble maidservant be obedient today in the delivery of this word. God, bless your people who will come and who will take the time to study and to listen. Add to their understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go ahead and get started. Before we read anything, Daniel, I want to remind you that we have just covered the first six chapters of Daniel, and it's not in chronological order. Chapters 1 through 6, they are an historical recording. They concern the events of the lives of God's people and concerning different kingdoms. So this is a historical account that Daniel has written. But chapters 7 through 12 are concerning the future. And I believe that they are to give hope. And you will see what I mean by that as we go through them. So, you know, some people, they don't like to read any type of what they think is prophetic, like the book of Daniel or book of Revelation or in Matthew when Jesus says these things, Matthew 24. They're just like, I don't want to know about that. I don't want to hear about that. It's too frightening for me. It upsets me too much. I don't want to understand it. But I don't want you to be afraid. I don't want you to be afraid. God doesn't want you to be afraid. He wants you to have hope when you come to His Word and when you read His Word. Listen, if God is able to draw a child to Him, to save a child, and He's written this Word, and to give a child understanding enough to know that they need to be saved, and when they read God's Word just as it's written, to give them hope and to encourage them to reveal Himself, and they begin to have understanding. It is the same for us. For those who are studying this, I believe you're not a child, a small child in your understanding or your walk with the Lord. But I believe that you are someone who is desiring more. Now, listen, the devil gives you fear. God will give you understanding. He gives you a sound mind to understand. So God is able to give you understanding of this. Even this book of Daniel, and as I taught when we went through the book of Revelation, listen, you don't have to be a great theologian. Don't be afraid of reading any book of Scripture. When you sit down, you say, Holy Spirit, come fill me and lead me and guide me and give me light. Now, are you going to understand the entire book of the Bible when you sit down and read the whole book of the Bible? No. Each time we go back and we read, He gives us understanding on different parts. Because there is a time that we need revelation on this, and there is a time that we need revelation on that. When we're hurting, God gives us scriptures for comfort. When we're sick, God gives us scriptures for healing. When we are downcast, God gives us scriptures to cause our head to be lifted up and to see Him. So just keep that in mind as you study. And remember, as you study, you always want to take this word, read it, and know that it was written in time, and it was written to people, real people who lived. And so then we want to read that, understand it, and then see what God shows us. But God's not going to show you something that's extra biblical. It will all line up, old and new. So I have studied and prayed, believing I will deliver what is needful for you and for myself. And as I always say, God will take this and add to your understanding that you may help someone later on. We don't know who God is going to put in our path. But God teaches us line upon line precept upon precept, and line upon line is when you take scripture and you're reading it, and he takes this line of scripture, and then you get the revelation in the New Testament, or you gain understanding as you go through this. Precept upon precept is the shedding of the blood. So just keep those things in mind. That's how God works. Chapters 7 through 12, as I said, are apocalyptic, prophetic, given to Daniel in his old age. Sometimes we get so confused we don't think about, we see ourselves aging and we see time passing on, but we don't realize that all of these are aging as we go through this book. I don't want you to be frightened, remember? I want you to study Daniel for yourself. You put away your fears. We are going to study the text, the context, and the new text, which is the New Testament, which explains that everything, you will see how Ezekiel, Daniel, and Revelation, Ezekiel, Daniel, and John the Apostle, how these men saw things they saw in part. And they didn't understand everything they saw, but they saw it and they wrote it down because God saw fit to reveal to them, and the Holy Spirit oversaw them writing it, and the Holy Spirit has kept it for us today. If you study this way, the dark mysteries will become clear, and the veil will be lifted, and you won't be in the darkness anymore. Don't you think that if God saw fit to reveal this to Daniel and had him record it, and the Holy Spirit has kept it all these thousands of years, that God thinks it's important for us to know? Ignorance of the future is not bliss. In the times we live in, we just don't want to hear anything. And some people will just run away. Some people just engross themselves in it and they can't see anything but that. And they can't go beyond that. They can't talk about the grace of God, the love of God. All they want to talk about are just the end times and all the horrific things without seeing God on the throne through it all. Through it all. Through this. Whatever I teach, any opportunity that I have to share the word, I want people to see our God high and lifted up. He is on the throne. He is in control. My life, your life, is in His hands. Not only that, this world does not operate outside of God's control. Amen? So let's begin. I'm going to read in chapter 7, let's read verse 1. We will read the scripture as we come to it in our study instead of reading the whole scripture at one time. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Remember that as we go through this, that Daniel in this chapter is writing down the main facts of this dream. So we see that this is the first year of Belshazzar. In chapter 5, it was his last year. Remember, he is killed in that chapter. He's destroyed. He's not just dethroned. His life is taken. And so 1 through 6 is historical, 7 through 12 is prophetic and apocalyptic. So as King Belshazzar begins his reign, Daniel is an old man, having already served King Nebuchadnezzar and King Nabonidus. That was King Belshazzar's father. And now this king that we've already seen in chapter 5, he is an arrogant king. He is a lover of himself with no regard for Daniel's God. And yes, remember, we said this. He knew exactly what he was doing in chapter 5 when he had them bring in all the vessels that his grandfather had taken from the temple in Jerusalem. He knew what he was doing. He knew exactly that he was trying to elevate himself and his gods over the God of the Hebrews. Because he looked at it like this: you're captured, and even the vessels that you used in your worship, they are captured. You are here for my service, my pleasure, and so is your God. Some people just don't, I mean, It is so hard to understand God's ways, but His ways are higher than ours. But what we have to remember is that He is in control. He sees all things. He sees the beginning and the end. We can only see today. Our God knows what we need and when we need it. And I believe that this chapter is very important for today, for the very day that we are living in. It is here written to give you hope for the very day that you are living in. I think that there are many out there today who don't have hope. Maybe you have hope, the one who's listening to it, but maybe something in here will help you to help someone else. That's my prayer, that it's always not just for me, but for you and for someone else. Daniel and his faith had been a light to King Nebuchadnezzar, remember? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they also had been a light to King Nebuchadnezzar. And so they did, even though they continued to be slaves and they had a place of prominence in the kingdom, they were still slaves. They were still being held there, and so were their people. But there was a difference in the way they were treated. They were allowed to build homes. They were allowed to take jobs. They were allowed to live a life there. Okay? But now things have changed in the kingdom. As for us today, I want you to think about it. The leaders in our country, they thumbed their nose at God. It's no different. There's nothing new under the sun. It only gets worse. Rulers have changed. Judging by this king's behavior, it seems as though it was about to change for Daniel and his people there in Babylon. Now, remember that. We've seen that. We've had leaders come and go, presidents come and go, favorites, not favorites, good, not good. And what we see today, we all know what we see today. We've seen, if you've lived any amount of time, you've seen how things have progressively gotten worse. You've seen how the leaders of our own country, they are so anti-God. They pretend that they are for God long enough to get your vote. And as soon as they get your vote, then they want to pass laws that restrict you from worship, restrict you from your beliefs, restrict your voice. And you see how it just becomes worse and worse. And the laws become heavier and heavier upon the people, more binding upon the people, more restrictive upon the people, so that they think that they can restrict God by restricting God's people. They think that they can conquer God by conquering God's people. So deceived and blind are those rulers today. So we have seen rulers come and go. Daniel is seeing rulers come and go. God gives Daniel a dream. This dream is for us too. This dream is for us. Daniel wrote down the main facts of the dream. Remember that. This is what is recorded here for us. That's what Daniel recorded, the main facts. Every little detail was not of necessity. Had it been of necessity, God would have had him record it. But he just needed to record the main facts. Here are the main facts of the dream. Daniel in verses 2 through 6. Let's read this. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings, and I watched till its wings were plucked off. And it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And suddenly another beast, a second like a bear, it was raised up on one side and had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus to it, arise, devour much flesh. After this I looked, and there was another like a leopard, which had on its back 4 wings of a bird. The beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. So Daniel saw in his dream, he saw the 4 winds of heaven. They were churning up the great sea. 4 great beasts, each different from the other. They came out of the sea. And then we will see, and when we get a little further, the main facts about the last beast. 4 winds, the 4 winds of heaven is letting us know that it is the entire earth. It is the entire earth that is being stirred up north, west, south, east. They're being affected by this. This is God's judging. God is judging. The great sea was churning. When that represents rebellion against God. And we know that the sea is the people. Waters are the people. They rise up out of the sea, the people. We see here it is chaos, complete chaos with all of this wind, with us just going through two hurricanes. And we haven't been through it, but we've had loved ones who've had, and we've seen reports and all the destruction that comes from the hurricanes and the tornadoes. And even loss of life. And so we see here that this winds of heaven is stirring up. It's churning. It is causing such great chaos among the people that the entire earth is in chaos. And from it, these four beasts arise. They're all deformed and they're ferocious. The first one in verse 4 was like a lion. It had wings. It's an unclean creature because it's a mixture of an animal and a bird. We see that with these creatures. He watches this animal as it's transformed. The wings are stripped from it and it's raised up to its feet and it's given a man's heart. It means that it has the mind of a man. In verse 5, it's like a bear. This one was like the hunchback in the movie, The Hunchback of Notre Dame. It had three ribs in its mouth from its victims. It had already been devouring, and there it was just chewing on the bones. But it was told to rise up and devour much flesh. Verse 6, it was like a leopard, part bird, and it had four heads, flying leopard. It had the speed and fierceness and ability to see in all four directions. This beast was given authority to rule. Making it impossible for you to run or hide from this beast. Now, in verse 7, I don't think I read that. Let me just read that. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. So this beast, listen, he described the first three beasts, but this one he can't even describe it. There is nothing on earth that Daniel can compare it to or say it was like. He has no way to describe this one. It's not like a lion, it's not like a bear, it's not like a leopard. This thing was not within his wheelhouse to be able to describe. It was frightening and dreadful, and it was strong. What it did not devour, it trampled down. We see here it says that, let's see, in verse 8, I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little horn coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking pompous words. Now this beast, it has 10 horns. 10, the number 10 signifies completeness. That means that this beast with these 10 horns, we know that they're rulers. And you remember the 10 toes in the image of Nebuchadnezzar. We know all of that. And so I'm just going to say that there are those who go through this and they teach on the different kingdoms. They teach about the four different kingdoms, Babylon, Greece, Rome. They teach all of those, the Medes and the Persians. They teach those. They relate all of those. But that's not what we're doing here. I want you to know that when it has the 10 toes and here you see the 10 horns, it's the same thing that Nebuchadnezzar saw. It's the same. It represents the same thing. It's only different in the fact that Nebuchadnezzar, when he looks upon the kingdoms, he sees it from a man's perspective. When God gives Daniel the dream, he's given it to Daniel from his perspective. Understand that. But 10 in scripture signifies completeness. A horn represents strength. So 10 horns represent complete strength. This beast has complete strength with the 10 horns upon it. And while Daniel's watching this, now remember, he saw the lion transformed. And while watching this, this terrible beast, and he's thinking about this, he's like, 10 horns? That's the only thing he could describe about this beast were the horns. All of a sudden, there's this little horn coming up among the 10. And then, as this little one is coming up, the first three horns were violently plucked out by the roots. And then this horn, this little horn that came up, it had eyes like a man and a mouth speaking pompous, grandiose, boasting words. This dream and vision is terrifying because they are evil beasts opposed to God. It is the same thing in Nebuchadnezzar's dream when he sees this man and how it stands. But all of these kingdoms are opposed to God. They are instruments of chaos and destruction. You think they bring order, but they cannot bring order. Order only comes from God. Man's order is not order. The sea is stirred up and producing horrific beasts, one after another. That's the people being stirred up, crying out. When the world is in chaos, when everything seems to be just falling apart, people begin to cry out for one leader. Not crying out to the Lord Jesus. Remember, we saw in the book of Revelation where they ran to the mountains and said, follow us, instead of repenting. But here you see when chaos comes and everything is happening, that these beasts rise up out of the people. There was one after the other, four in all, each one more frightening than the one that comes before it. They are all enormous, misshapen animals, and one is unable to be described. It is not like any beast on the earth. And we know what beast that is. We know when the Antichrist comes, no one will be able to describe it. No one can picture it. We have no idea, because it will be so ferocious. It will be so horrendous that the world has not seen anything like it before. But it is only for a limited time. Remember that. God will allow it for a limited time. But Daniel, he is troubled in his spirit. He's disturbed. He's grieved. We will see the vision is declaring the world is being run by a succession of fearsome monsters, beasts that will only get more evil than the one before, hardened and opposed to God and his kingdom. I know that Daniel had interpreted the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. Remember when he went to Babylon as a young boy? God had given him the interpretation. He'd given him shown him the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. And then he gave him the interpretation. And it was the statue of a man with the metals from gold descending all the way down to iron mixed with clay. And so the value was descending. Remember, man sees himself as a man. He sees himself on the outward, and he sees himself, his kingdoms, you know, and his abilities and what he can do. But the beasts are how God sees the ruler and their kingdoms. Let's read verses 9 through 10. I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth before him. 1,000,000 ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were open. Now we're going to be turning to a lot of scriptures here. Daniel is not just shown the beast, but the Ancient of Days. God reveals himself to him. I want us to turn to Revelation chapter 20. So Revelation chapter 20 verse 4. And John writes, and I saw thrones and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. So the thrones were being set up. And the throne is set up. Let's read Revelation chapter 1, verse 14. His head and hair were white like wool and as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. Let's read Revelation chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. He who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Here we see what Daniel is seeing, and I told you that we don't have full understanding, and then he gives the revelation to John, and we also see in Ezekiel chapter 1, this is so amazing to me. I just love this because it says that his throne was a fiery flame, its wheels burning in me. I mean, its wheels burning fire. Listen, go back and read Ezekiel chapter 1. I'm not going to read that, but read about that, about the wheels and how they're turning and they see everything at one time. And it's actually the presence of the Lord. And Ezekiel sees when it actually leaves the temple. But I just think it's so amazing how these three men have these visions, but they're all the same vision. They're seeing, they're not adding to or making God something different. God is just giving further revelation to each one of his servants, and he wants you to be able to see that too. Let's look at Revelation chapter 5, because remember it says that there were thousands and thousands, and it says that there were thousands, thousands ministered him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. So look at Revelation chapter 5. You know, Revelation is one of my favorite books, but so is the book of Daniel. It's one of my favorite books. Let's read Revelation 5, 11 through 12. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures, the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." So you see that it's just an absolute confirmation of what Daniel is seeing here in Revelation chapter 20. Let's look at verses 11 through 15. 11, yes. So it says that where he says the court was seated and the books were open, Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, just at the very appearance of the Lord. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his words. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So if you're saved, your name is already written in the book of life. When these books are open, these books were open to judge. God the Father is revealed seated on the throne to Daniel. Why? Because Daniel, as he's growing older, he's been there all of this time, and the kings are changing, the kingdom is changing, things are changing, and he senses. He senses how each one of these kings are less inclined to be kind to God's people, and their hatred towards God. And Daniel senses all this. I believe that all of these things are going on in his heart. He's taking it to the Lord, because we know that this was a man of prayer, and God wants to reassure Daniel. He wants Daniel to write these things down to reassure God's people who were there, who will come after him, and we have come after him. And we need assurance from God in the times that we live in. Listen, we know that things are going to happen. But the assurance that we have is that God is in control and that our lives belong to Him. What did Daniel see? He saw that his garment was white, which represented the purity of God. And his hair was white, which represents wisdom. The throne, fiery, the fiery flames from the throne is divine power to destroy his enemy. And the thousands, the countless before his throne who worship him. One day we are going to be part of that countless number. We are going to be part of that countless number. We are not going to be a lost, just a number. But God knows each one of us. He's counted the hairs on our head. He knows the day of our birth and the day of our departure from this earth. He will know us. We're not just going to be a face in the crowd. When you see like these concerts or you see these rallies and you think, who are these people? The person who is standing up performing or speaking can't possibly know them. But God will know us. You will not be lost in the crowd. I promise you this, because our God sees and knows all. God knows us because He knitted and formed us in our mother's womb. He knows us. He knows us well. God is on His throne and His books are open. Always remember that God is a record-keeping God. Amen? Amen. Let's read verses 11 and 12. I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives prolonged for a season and a time. Daniel is continually watching, and in this he sees that the beast is slain. Now we know that this thing is not chronological. Daniel is writing down this dream, the main facts. It's like when John wrote down the book of Revelation. He was having all these visions. He was up in heaven. He was on the earth. He was standing there looking at these things. And so he's writing them down. God knows the absolute order, but He's giving us an understanding of things so that when they happen, we can know. And he saw the beast, its body destroyed, thrown to the burning flame. The others had their dominion taken away and their lives prolonged for a season and a time. We remember that God will rule and Jesus will rule and reign for 1,000 years with an iron rod. And then at the end of that 1,000 years, they still have an opportunity to come. But we will know that there are those who will rise up in rebellion against Him at the end of that. Let's look at it this way for a moment. Daniel is seeing the world to come and he's trying to convey this to all who will come behind him. That means you and it means myself and all who read this and who have read this book. His graphic description of the true nature of this world and the world to come and the rewards and prizes and the riches that this world offers are empty and worthless. That's why Belshazzar, when he calls, Daniel comes in to tell him what the handwriting meant. Daniel said, just keep it. I don't want it. I'll tell you what it says. Just keep it. The horrors of this beast are equally empty of power to do us real harm. Daniel has the vision of the Ancient of Days sitting on the throne, and then he sees this beast destroyed. God's saying, Daniel, look, I'm on the throne. Yes, things are going to be tough. Yes, I'm allowing this. But all of this is for the purpose of God so that no one, not Satan, not one fallen angel, not one Hitler, not one Stalin, not one whomever you may think today can stand and accuse God of not being a just God. He is a just God and He gives everyone the opportunity to be saved. Yes, He knows who will and who will not, but He gives them the opportunity. He gives them the opportunity, and He can't. And so He has allowed this. It's I don't want to say it's running its course, but I don't know how else to put it, because God has a time frame for everything. We don't know the time, but God has set and designated a time when it will all end and every opportunity has been given and the last person will be saved, and then He will come. He will set up His kingdom. We know the 1,000 years will end, and at that one last great, you want to call it a battle with His very word. With His very word, that it is over with. And then He reigns forever. Remember, they can only hurt the body. They can only hurt the body. Daniel is shown God is our judge. And as the kingdom is changing hands again, Daniel most likely with his apprehensions and questions, I believe that this is God answering him to reassure him, to reassure you today as you read this, to be reassured. By the time chapter 5 and chapter 6 happens, Daniel has had this vision. He's had time to process this vision. And when Belshazzar calls him in, he comes in with a confidence then. There's a confidence within him knowing. Because Daniel doesn't run. He's not going to tell the king about this dream. He's not running. He's keeping these things in his heart. He's pondering them. He's chewing on them. He's thinking on them. Pondering means you think on it and you put it aside, and then you bring it up and you think on it again. You put it aside, and God continues to give him peace and give him understanding. Everyone is judged by God. If the blood has covered you, then you are forgiven and your home is with the Lord. If you refuse the blood, then you are condemned and your home is in hell. If the beasts take our bodies, we simply go to be with the Lord with the promise of a new incorruptible body. Listen, folks, I'm not saying that it will not be frightening. I'm not saying that it will be easy. I'm not saying that suffering, persecution, or some horrendous death or slow death is anything that anyone wants. I don't want it either. But I'm saying that all they can do is take our body. We have to continue to love the Lord and ask the Lord to give us strength to never, ever deny Him. God is greater than all the beasts. He shows that, listen, man cannot stop these beasts. Man cannot stop the Antichrist, but God can. Jesus has won the victory on the cross with His sinless blood. He was raised from the dead. He lives at the right hand of God the Father. He is the judge of the world. All is defeated, but there will come a day when God says, now is the time for you to have what rightly belongs to you. God is greater than all the beasts, because He shows Daniel here that He cast him into the burning flames. He cast them into the burning flames. God is in control of their destiny as well as ours. We don't always think about that, but He is in control. He is judging them. He will judge them, and their judgment will come. We don't have to take revenge. We don't have to judge that. We know evil from good. We know good from evil, and we are to follow hard after our God. No one sits in a place of authority that God has not allowed. No one can dethrone God. Amen? Amen. Nothing happens outside of God's will, even when we say an election was stolen. God allowed it. You have rulers in this earth today who represent the heart of man. I'm not saying every man, it doesn't represent my heart, but I'm telling you that when a country has a ruler, let's just say North Korea, that is where the heart of the people were. Let's just say Venezuela, or let's just say Russia. Now, the people groan under that type of oppression, and only God can deliver. But I'm telling you that whoever is in office, God has allowed it. Even if you sit home and you don't do anything, God has allowed it, and God can take them down as well as put them on the throne. Let's read verses 13 through 14 to continue to be encouraged and strengthened. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven, Jesus. He came to the Ancient of Days, God the Father, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! God is encouraging you again. What is so hard to understand about that? Jesus has won the victory, and we belong to him. We belong where he is. He will rule, and we will possess the kingdom as he does. This is an eternal vision of the last king and his kingdom. There are no others. If you remember in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, the statue, the 10 toes, and then there was a little stone that came and hit them and crushed them, and it grew into a big mountain and covered the whole earth. Jesus' kingdom. There's no other after that now, is there? There's nothing else in that dream after that, right? And here, we see this with Daniel's dream that he has. The 10 horns, the one little horn, but with one ultimate world leader. It's what Daniel sees. But after that, only God's kingdom in Daniel's dream, in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. God cast him away. God is the one who destroys. He's the one who lifts up. He's the one who takes down. He puts this one on a throne, and he removes this one from a throne. God is in control. He wants you to see this. And he says that we are going to be with him, and that we're going to possess the kingdom. We're going to possess the kingdom with him. Daniel and us, who live with beasts, who have authority to rule, to kill, to devour, they have human faces, and they are persecutors to God's people. They are God haters. Listen, so far this has been to reveal to Daniel and to us. Today we are in the world. We are living in chaos. We are living with these rulers, with this complete rulers of this earth, who are trying to unite now. They want so much chaos going on in the world. Think what you may, call me what you want, but listen, how much chaos is created in the world today that man is creating? Now, man's not creating hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes and things like that, but how much is man doing to cause people to have fear and to run to and fro and to search for answers and to cry out, we need just one person. We need to be in unity. We need to follow one person who has all the answers for us. And that one person will step up and speak such eloquent words, but then his words will all go against God, and he will be arrogant and pompous against God and against God's people, and his true hatred of God will be taken out on the people of God. We are living in this world today, folks. Make no mistake about it. We are living, I don't know when, I'm not being a prophet here, but I'm telling you that we are living in this world today. Daniel saw this in his time. He wrote this down. This is happening. We are living in it. And we know that we shall not live in their world forever, because a day is coming when the throne is set up, the books are open, and Jesus comes. Let's look at Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Verses 11 through 16. Where am I at? Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God, and the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on a white horse. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself will tread the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And look at Revelation 20, verse 10. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire, brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Amen to that. Daniel and his friends prayed to know the dream of Nebuchadnezzar and its interpretation, and God answered him. Now we see that Daniel's having this dream, and he's grieved. He doesn't understand. He's an older man, and he doesn't understand. It's not because of his age, but I'm saying so much time, probably around 50 years between this thing with Nebuchadnezzar and this one. But God has sent his angels there. And so Daniel calls on one of those angels to help him. Let's look at verses 15 through 20. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near to one of those who stood by. It's one of the angels, and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. Those great beasts, which are four kings. See, now you want the interpretation? It tells you these are four kings, which arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever. There's your hope again. There's your hope again. Then I wished to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron and its nails of bronze, which devoured broken pieces and trampled the residue with its feet, and the ten horns which were on its head, and the other horn which came up, before which three fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. While I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them. It's going to happen. See, that Antichrist is going to rise up out of this complete world leaders. He's going to rise up. He's the one who's going to take control until the Ancient of Days. Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 20. So, Daniel needs the angel standing by in his dream, in his vision, to give him the interpretation. Listen, there are plenty. I told you there are other commentaries. There are other teachings out there. You can listen to them all day long. Sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon telling you who these kings were, who these kingdoms are, and all of that. But that's not what we're here for. We want hope for the days ahead. And the angel tells Daniel, each beast is a king which arises out of the earth, out of humanity. But the saints, then and now, let's read verse 18 again. Verse 18. Where's that at? But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever. Highlight that. Highlight that in your Bible. We possess the kingdom forever and ever. Not any of these beasts, not the ones in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Remember, there is an eternal kingdom that's going to come, an eternal kingdom that's going to fill the earth. It will be the last kingdom. There will not be another king after that. Jesus is king forever. His kingdom is forever. It's not going to be destroyed. God's already shown it to Nebuchadnezzar. He's shown it to Daniel here. Each one is deposed And then the last one that comes. And after that, there is no other. This is your hope. Stand up if you want to shout. Give the Lord a hallelujah and praise Him. Verse 19 explains the fourth beast. The one that Daniel doesn't even have words to describe this beast. It's so horrible. It can't be described. This beast was worse than all the others, more evil than all the others. See, each kingdom becomes worse and worse. It was not only making war against the saints, but prevailing and winning. There have been seasons in each one of these evil kingdoms that they would come and they would fight against the saints of God, the people of God, and there would be just, it would seem as though that the church was dying, that the people of God were being destroyed. But no, God brought up another one. He raised up another one, deposed that one. In verse 22, we see, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. God is for us. And when the time comes, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. There is a time. There is a time. I told you, God has a timetable. We don't know it. We can read this. We can see these things so that we're not caught off guard, that we're not ignorant to the things that God is doing in the earth today. But His absolute timing, I don't know it, and I don't think anyone else does. But God has His timetable set up, and when that time comes, saints of God, we will possess the kingdom with our Lord and our Savior and our King Jesus. Amen. So verses 23 through 25. The fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all the other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, and break it in pieces. Then the ten horns are ten kings who shall arise from this kingdom. And another shall rise after them. He shall be different from the first ones. Listen, there is a kingdom that's coming that is so horrendous that all it does is trample and devour. What it can't destroy, it just devours, completely devours. And then there are 10 kings in this. There is a completeness to this kingdom. But in the completeness of this, we see, listen, he shall be different from the first ones and shall subdue three kings. So three kings will be violently taken out of place, and he shall speak pompous words against the Most High. He shall persecute the saints of the Most High. Listen, if you believe in, that you're going to be raptured before the tribulation, you have not read this scripture. He shall persecute the saints of the Most High. And up here, what did it say? I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them. It's the same thing. He's just telling you this again. He's reiterating. He shall intend to change times and law, then the saints shall be given into his hands for a time and times and half a time. We know that that's going to be 3.5 years when the very worst comes. But God has set a limit for that. God will allow it. God, for whatever reason, He is God. Don't ask me to be God. But He has determined that there will be X amount of martyrs. And when the number of martyrs is filled, God says, not any longer. You don't have to cry any longer. Because vengeance is coming. Justice is coming. But God has set a timetable even for that. For how long He will allow evil to rule. Verses 26 through 27. But the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion. This little horn that rises up. This little horn that's speaking all these pompous words. To consume and destroy it forever. How long? Forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey Him. Listen, God's kingdom is everlasting. When His kingdom comes down and it is set up, we are His people. We will rule with Him. We will be here. We will serve our King, King Jesus. All the rest are destroyed and they will be forgotten. They are only but a moment and they will be forgotten. They will not be recorded in the history books of heaven. They are done with. Sin is done with. Evil is done with. And God's people who will be exactly like God in the sense that our mind, our thoughts, and we will have been washed of all sin. Sin does not carry over into heaven. Those residues are not there in us in heaven. When Noah and his sons were on the ark, God saved them because of the righteousness of Noah. And those ones had not mixed with the fallen angels. And they were carried over. But the heart of man was the same. You still needed Jesus to come and to die for them, that they could be washed clean, because we see how sin soon popped its head up and began again, right? But there will be none of that in heaven. None of it carries over into heaven. There will not be one impure heart. There will not be one person who has not been redeemed, who has not been washed clean, who will be in heaven. And in that everlasting kingdom, there will not be any sin to be dealt with. God will completely deal with it. So all those there, listen, there will be no more sin. There will be no more sin forever and ever in the kingdom of God. God is in control. He just keeps reiterating that to Daniel. I'm in control. I have the books. I'm on the throne. I'm the one allowing this, and I'm the one who will finally put an end to it. Verse 28. This is the end of the account. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly troubled me and my countenance changed, but I kept the matter in my heart. Daniel kept that in his heart. Chapter 7 is Daniel telling the main facts of this dream. Even with the explanation, his thoughts were greatly troubled. Remember, Daniel is a man just like us. He needs time to process and ponder this dream. But I believe by chapter 5, he had processed it. Daniel understood what he had been shown to know, that the earthly kings are limited in power and time and control. They rise and fall, and another takes its place. Listen, it is no different than where we are today. I know that we have an election coming up. You need to be like Christ. Here in this country, we have the freedom to vote. We are not ruled by a king nor a dictator, but we are ruled by the vote of the people. And as the Puritans came here to settle a nation, to give glory unto God, and to be ruled by God, not by a king, this nation has changed. But if you are a Christian, you should have that same heart. No man or woman is perfect. No politician is perfect. But you need to go before the Lord and you put their names out there. And that is who you are to vote for. If they will violate the laws of God, are you going to vote for them? Are you going to vote for them? Some people say, well, you got to vote for the lesser of the two evils. Here's what you have to vote. You have to really, truly go before the Lord. And then you vote that way. God is in control either way. We are in a place today where all of the chaos is being stirred up. Listen, it is everywhere you look. It is in every area of our life. It is a constant on the news and the media, a constant trying to turn people against each other. It is a constant trying to gaslight you. If you follow that and you're not spending time in God's Word and reading what God is saying, and if you're so afraid of the things to come that you're not even willing to sit and discuss it or read it for yourself, but even in a discussion you can't handle it, you need to sit before the Lord until He gives you that peace and that encouragement. Because where do you find your hope, folks? In this day, in this very time, we need our hope. And our hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the one who started it, and He is the one who will finish it. He is the one who supplied the demand that was needed for us to be redeemed. We could not do it. And how many times does He have to keep promising you and reassuring you? Go to His Word. Don't turn to the news. Don't turn to the politicians for your comfort, but turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord, and there you will find hope. Amen. Amen.